Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Dave Pasch in just a moment. But first, our play-by-play call of the day.
Rebound Kuzma, who's doing everything. Kuz out of the backcourt. Kuz, 30-footer. Good! Kuzma, putting on a show in Houston, has 16 first quarter points. He's 6-for-6.
Yeah, and Chris Paul, by the way, missed part of that last night at the end for the Rockets. And that one, James Harden, by the way, at 51. Dave Pasch now joins us. He'll be calling the Fiesta Bowl for ESPN. Dave, absolute pleasure. Welcome to the show.
Sure, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. Great to have you with us today. Let's get to it. What does it take for you to prepare a game like this? With two teams you don't have tremendous familiarity with.
Well, you know, we have not had Penn State this year, so that always is a little bit challenging when you haven't seen a team yet and you have to really kind of relive their whole season and learn. Even though we had the Rose Bowl on radio last year, obviously a lot of new players, new faces. We did have Washington earlier in the season, so that does help. But, you know, anytime you are getting ready for a bowl game, you know, you're pretty much kind of bathing in all the news of the entire year to make sure that you get caught up. And, you know, it's fun. It's a great challenge. It's why we do what we do. We love it. But certainly with, you know, a game like this, you want to make sure that you've got, you know, every possible nugget that's out there to best serve the fan.
Yeah, because, I mean, you end up, obviously, with one of the big matchups, Penn State and Washington. On your learning curve of Penn State, where are you right now?
I've got a little work to do, but, you know, with basketball going on and still doing the Cardinal stuff, that game's still 10 days away. But, you know, I've gotten a pretty good start and a pretty good feel for – and obviously I'm paying attention during the regular season on a weekly basis, you know, on a big picture level. So I've got a pretty good feel for Penn State.
How anxious are you to see Saquon Barkley also with the idea that when you are doing the Cardinals, you might see him on the next level next year?
Yeah, well, he's great. Well, doing the Rose Bowl last year was just such a fun show to be a part of. And, you know, I just think he's probably the most gifted player in the country. And, you know, I think he's going to go very high. The Cardinals don't need him. They have plenty at that position. But,
right.
You know, I know that, you know, people kind of scoff when you talk about running backs going that high in the draft. But, you know, it's worked out pretty well for Leonard Fournette. You know, I think Barkley, there's some similarities there in terms of the size and the speed. The guy is incredible, and he's so versatile and can do so many different things for Penn State, and he's just a fun guy to watch.
Dave, you talked about having Washington earlier in the year. What struck you about Myles Gaskin?
Well, the game we had, they lost at Arizona State, and in that game, they really struggled offensively. They missed a couple of short field goals, but, you know, I've had them and probably once a year over the last 3 or 4 years. And I've always felt that Gaskin is a good player. He's not on Barkley's level, but not many guys are. But I think he's a really good back. Obviously, he's had some great numbers. He's very talented, and he's a big help for Jake Browning. I think Browning is a really good quarterback, but, you know, he needs a run game, and Gaskin delivers that. And they have a very good offensive line. They've had some injuries too, but they still have a pretty good group up front.
How tight has it been on travel for you to have to do an ESPN game on a Saturday and to make sure you're there for an Arizona Cardinals game on Sunday?
Well, I mean, it's been, I think this is like 14 years of doing both. So, I mean, they've been pretty, ESPN's been really good about, you know, putting me in a position where we can still have good games, but, you know, make sure it's not too crazy on travel. But, you know, it works out. Actually, Fiesta Bowl works out where I can get a flight out that night to Seattle. So it's not always perfect, but, you know, for the most part, 90% of the time, it's relatively easy travel.
What has happened with the Cardinals? Is it all injuries this year, especially with the quarterback Carson Palmer? Is that really a big reason why Arizona has not quite been the factor some thought they would?
Well, it's certainly a big part of it. I mean, you lose as many people as they've lost, and lose them early in the season. David Johnson, week one. Carson Palmer, week seven. You lose Marcus Golden, your best, second best pass rusher, to Chandler Jones. It's really hurt, but they were struggling even when they were healthy. So, it really would be just an excuse to say it's all injuries, but that has played a big role. I look at teams like Tennessee and some of these other teams that are 8-5 or 8-6, 9-5, and I don't see a whole lot of separation between that team and the Cardinals. And that's mainly because a team like Tennessee, for example, they've been healthy all year. Now they lost a couple in a row, but injuries are such a big part of it.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I want to get back to the broadcast parts. Greg McElroy is now with you in the booth. Tom Luganville is on the field. What's that dynamic been like for you?
Well, it's great. This is year five, I think, with Lugs, and year two with Greg. And Greg, is obviously just getting started. And he's so good for, he's 29 years old. I mean, he's, was at Alabama, won a championship there, Nick Saban's first championship, and then he was in the NFL for a bit. Greg is as good as anybody I've worked with, and this is only his second year doing him. He just has a great feel for the game and communicates very well. So we got a great group of people. I mean, our team is, really enjoys being around each other. And as when you're on the road and you're doing games every week, if you don't like the people you're working with, it can be rough. And we've got a great group.
All right. Now, I have to ask the next question. I think where I'm going. You work with Greg McElroy. Now, obviously, I work with Jack Ham for Penn State football, and I work with Dick Girardi on basketball. You have Greg McElroy. You have Bill Walton. All right. It is entertaining beyond words. Take us through the Walton experience.
Well, I will see him tonight. We have Arizona at UConn at Arizona here in a little bit. It's different. It's different. I mean, it's very it's non-traditional. It's not for everybody. It's completely spontaneous. There's no rehearsal. There's no discussion of what we're going to talk about. He doesn't want me around him and shoot around. Even if with a question about family, it's save it for the air. It's different. But we have fun. It's year six together. So we enjoy it, and the biggest challenge sometimes is making sure that we're documenting the game, and Bill, keeping Bill on track. But that's part of the fun.
Do you feel with him you try to give him more room than maybe somebody else, or is it just natural the room that you give your analyst?
Yeah, I mean, if you give him any room, he's going to jump in. So sometimes I actually have to talk a little bit longer just so he doesn't jump in and interrupt. He'll take any room you give him. I mean, he'd go the whole show. If it was just one mic, he would just talk. So, but he does. He's been doing TV so long. He does actually get TV.
Yeah. How often do you get stopped in airports and somebody walks up and says, it's Dave, right?
That does happen, believe it or not. That does happen. Not necessarily in airports, but yeah, there'll be people at games. And the funny thing is when it starts trickling down to when I do an NBA game and I'll see people there, or GMs of NBA teams, or I was doing a Arizona game a couple of weeks ago, and Terry Francona stopped me and started yelling about Bill. He didn't like something Bill said, and so it was just you never know where you're going to hear it from. I remember doing the Pac-12 tournament the first year with Bill. And then, like, the 2 days later, I had a Warriors game, and we're doing a sit-down with Steph Curry, and he says to me, so how come you didn't answer Bill's question? I looked at him and I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, Bill asked you if you'd ever been in a volcano, and you didn't answer the question. I wanted to hear the answer. So you just never know. It does resonate with people, though. I guess that's good. Keeps us employed.
Yeah, I know. Exactly, because I think Dick Girardi looked at me one day and he said, I'm not going to ask you about evolution. I said, okay, thanks. I appreciate that.
You never know what's coming. That's for sure.
You never know. How fresh do all the changes keep you? When you go to the NFL, to college basketball, to college football, do some NBA, does that keep you fresh as a broadcaster?
It does. I mean, it's fun. You get to you know, do a little bit of everything. I'm working tomorrow night with Doris Burke. And Doris, this is the first year that she's done just NBA. I mean, she's been doing NBA college basketball for men, college basketball women's. And, you know, she misses out on the variety, but she's excited she can just focus on the one sport. I don't know if ever that day will come for me, but right now I'm enjoying the variety, getting to kind of do everything. It's a lot of work, but it's fun. And, you know, you get to watch the best players in the world on two major sports, and then you get to be a part of some great college games on two major sports. So I'm loving what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I worked with Doris early in her career. She came in and did some games here at Penn State, and we worked together. I thought she was terrific then. She's even better now. She really has just become one of the top ones out there. And you and I both know how easy she is to work with.
Yeah, I think she's one of the best analysts at ESPN, regardless of the sport. I mean, she's excellent. She's, you know, very knowledgeable, very well-respected around the league. I'll be doing a lot of games with her this year, so I'm excited.
Yeah. How do you feel about having four in the playoff? Do you think it should be expanded to eight? Because if it were, this might be one of the games that would be in that eight.
I'd love to see it go to at least six, and maybe you get the first two teams get a bye. I'd like to see it expanded. I do like the four. I don't want to take away from the regular season. Eight, you know, might do that, might be too much. Is the eighth-ranked team in the country really a contender for a national championship? Probably not. Top six, I think you're borderline. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons they keep it at four, because you don't want to make it too much like the NCAA men's basketball tournament. You don't want to water down the regular season at all. But I could see maybe it going to six, but I don't know that I'm a big fan of it going to eight.
Finally, when you first found out it's going to be Penn State, Washington in the Fiesta Bowl, what were your initial thoughts since you knew you were getting the assignment?
Well, it's funny because we kept hearing rumors it was going to be Ohio State SC, but I also knew Ohio State had been at the Fiesta Bowl the last 2 years, so I was thinking that, well, if Ohio State doesn't end up going, then it's probably Penn State. Maybe they'll put SC in the Cotton against Ohio State. So obviously with you know, the fan interest in both schools and how good both teams have been the last few years, I mean, I'm excited. I think it'd be a great game.
I think it will be too. Dave, thanks so much for your time, especially on the game day, taking the time to talk with us today. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you next week in Glendale.
Likewise, Steve. Thank you.
Dave Pasch, the outstanding play-by-play voice on ESPN for football, basketball, does it all, NBA, college basketball, college football, does a terrific job. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Thanks to Dave Pasch. Great guest, wasn't he? You know, all the versatility and
lots of great stuff.
I thought he was candid about Bill Walton. I thought that was a very candid conversation.
Oh, I agree. And, yeah. I wasn't expecting that.
Greg McElroy, I did expect, because McElroy is at 29, a very poised, intelligent analyst on the air, and I can see why Dave enjoys working with him. And of course, Tom Luganbill. And, you know, Luganbill's been down that sideline for years now. It's a different dynamic the way they work it, and it's a really good dynamic, as a matter of fact. As for the Bill Walton part, now, Doris Burke, I've worked with Doris before.
I didn't know. That's cool. I didn't know that she got started at Penn State, or at least doing a couple of games there.
Early in her career, five or six games that we did on TV together early in her career, early in my career too, and she'd come in from Rhode Island to do games. She lives in New York now, but I had tremendous respect for her working with her. Personally, liked her a lot, but tremendous working relationship, and. Every time I'd leave, I thought, "Boy, she's going to go a long way. She's going to go a long way." Yeah, I mean, look at her now. She's one of the preeminent analysts in all of basketball. And working with Dave makes life easy. I mean, Dave's got working with her, you can tell he enjoys it already. because she's a pro's pro. The Walton part I thought was interesting because I thought he was very candid about, you know, the room you have to give him, that, you know, sometimes you got to reel him back in, you know, make sure he gets back to the game. Sometimes he talks a little bit longer, so he makes sure that he gets the game points in that need to be made because Dave knows the game's still the most important part of the game. It is incredibly entertaining. I mean, Dick Girardi and I talk all the time about, because Walton is so different, and you need to have a pros pro like Dave Pasch next to Bill Walton. If you don't, then you have, and if you don't have Dave Pasch's personality next to Bill Walton, it's not going to work as well. Just not. And that's why I have great professional respect. And I've heard him do many Arizona Cardinal games. I mean, because with SiriusXM, you hear everybody now. But I thought that was candid. And like you, there were a couple answers in there I didn't expect. I mean, the one about, well, you know, he doesn't want to talk to me at shoot around. Doesn't want me talking to him at shoot around. Like, oh, for goodness sakes. Really?
Yeah, that was probably the only thing I felt strange about in a negative sense because, you know, to me, if I'm broadcasting a game with a color analyst, I want to talk to him as much as possible, especially at a shoot around like that, to see what he's thinking about these so and so matchups, you know, how a guy looks in practice, what's his take if he going into a game and things like that based on what he's seen at practice, and you're seeing the guys together in action before you're on the air. So that I didn't quite get.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is that my working relationship with everybody else is 180 of that. Jack Ham and I are best of friends. Derek Williams, I mean, really good friends. Jeff Tarman, really good friends. Roger Corey, really good friends. Dick Girardi and I are the best of friends. I mean, Jack, Dick, and I talk all the time. I mean, all the time. I mean, I probably talked to Jack 3 times this week. I probably talked to Dick already 3 times this week.
And that's also how you develop good chemistry, too. That's why you guys are so good on the air.
About a wide variety of topics. We're not, you know, Jack and I aren't just talking football. We'll talk about something else, whatever. Dick and I have had to talk about a wide variety of things along the way. And sometimes it just isn't about football or basketball. It's just, you know, like friends talk about a wide variety of topics. We talk about a wide variety of topics. And like I said, we'll talk 2-3 times a week. And then we do the games on top of it. You know, same thing with Derek. I can call Derek anytime I want. And Derek knows that, you know, Derek needs something from me. He'll call me right away. We'll take care of it. You'll hear Todd Sadowski and Trey Bauer on the show next week, the two guys I do the Blue-White Tailgate TV show with. Same thing. We're all really good friends. Really good friends. Sadowski might be one of the 5 nicest people on the planet, who's also a really great pro. And then Trey I've known for 30-something years, and, you know, he's a friend. So that dynamic, I mean, you know, I don't know Dave Pasch at all. I mean, the first time I met him, I think, was at the Rose Bowl last year because he did it on radio. But that dynamic, for me, would not fit my personality. Yeah, I can work with a lot of people. I mean, like I said, Doris Burke was easy to work with. But, I mean, and I've worked with a lot of people. I mean, obviously, working with Sean and Kevin has been great. You're a lot of fun. You know, we all have a good time. I mean, I was at the Christmas party last week, and I had a good time talking to you and your wife, and we had fun. That dynamic of, I don't want to talk till we get on the air, I don't know. That's one I really could not. That would not fit my personality at all. I give Dave, but Dave's a pro's pro, so. And you can tell he's really good.
Definitely.
Yeah, and they've got the game tonight, by the way, UConn and Arizona. So the game must be down in Tucson. I like that building. I've done, believe it or not, the University of Arizona. You know how many games I've done down there?
How many?
I've done 9 games in that building.
Oh, wow.
9 games. I don't think a lot of people would realize that. So somebody said, hey, when's the last time, somebody said, you know, what about Phoenix? No, I said, I've done 4 basketball games there. So I did my 500th game at Arizona State. in 1999. Wasn't even this century, Matt.
How about that?
Wasn't even this century I did my 500th game. Wow.
Go back to that versatility. Doing a lot.
Yeah. Hey, great to have you with us on the show today. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Now, the person on the air I have the closest personal relationship to is coming up next. And that is my brother. We have picks coming up, and he is on a roll. He is burying the field. He is 10-1 since being pressured.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. And with that, we bring in a guy who 2 weeks ago was in last place, and now with a 10-1 surge is back into first place. That would be my brother.
Sorry, man.
No need to be.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going.
And you got going, all right. You are rolling. 10-1 and a 5-0 last week. I mean, as soon as he got pressed a little bit, he got serious again.
Did my homework. No, it's all luck. So, whatever.
I don't know. But, you're doing pretty well. It's a little bit more than luck.
It's fun. What a week, man. We are on our fourth washer machine in 2 weeks.
What?
We had two washer machines sent to us. I'm not going to name the place, you know, but they're supposed to have the Best Buy around. Okay? They sent us a... now, be careful. They sent us a machine the second time around that was broken. Not only was it... I'm laying on the floor trying to level the feet. And yeah. The thing turns on. I looked at her. I said, what did you touch? She goes, nothing. It just started running. It was, the pump was running. The machine was filled with water. They sent us a machine that somebody sent back. So then I screwed the plumbing up. But then I made a really cool sump pump arrangement to... Yeah. Pump out the water when it drains, and that works good. And we got our new washer machine today, our fourth one. It's called LG4, number 4. And we actually did a load of laundry all the way through, and it worked. And I got the toughest wife in the world. She is tough. And we toughed this out, and we made it. So we have a new washer machine, but it was quite a trip.
It just screams Merry Christmas.
Yeah, oh yeah, Merry Christmas, or at the laundromat. So.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
But washing machines.
All new fittings, all new everything. I learned a lot about plumbing, and they got this new thing. It's not new to some people. It's called a shark bite.
Okay.
And, yeah, and you can cut any line as long as you got the right size and everything, and you just splice lines with these things. They just press in. You don't have to solder joints anymore, nothing like that. You got T's, valves, the whole nine yards. Okay. It's sports talk show. I'm just excited I can do laundry again. So
Well, you know what? I mean, a couple of years ago, a hot water heater here went out. Yeah, we had it for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, we're supposed to get our agreement was you get a full replacement.
Yeah.
I think that was the agreement. And I was paying this agreement every month.
Whoa.
So I went in there. And I'm not going to say who, although they've closed some stores recently.
Okay. I love it.
Okay. Okay. And actually, they've closed a few stores of late. And I said, that's my agreement. No, we can only give you, I think they could give me like $700, $800
right.
toward a new one. I said, we changed the agreement. I said, I never received anything. You changed the agreement. So I'm talking to this woman on the phone, and I said, so you're telling me that under the premise I bought my old one, that you essentially lied to me and my agreement is junk? Oh, no, that's not true. I said, so I'm getting a full replacement then. No, we can only give you $800. I said, well, then you lied to me. I said, your agreement is junk.
That's where it is today.
Oh, and so I finally bought a hybrid, and in the time it took to do this, I mean, the football guys were great. Just come on down here, shower here at the football building in the locker room. I said, okay. So yep. That's what I did. So I was using the football locker room showers.
How about your family?
They were able to go to Jen's house.
That's right. Jennings right down the road.
Yeah, she's down the road. So just to make it easier, so it's not an extra body in there, I went over to football and used that. Like, okay, this is a lot of fun. Because they were like, you have to be kidding me. You have no hot water? Oh, no. I said, and I told them about the agreement with the nationally renowned group I was trying to work with. That's, by the way, closed stores recently.
Didn't they close one in Enfield?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They're closing one here in State College right now. So,
do you remember a guy named Brian Sears from Enfield?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember him. Yeah.
Good old Brian Sears. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him specifically. Great name. Has he closed?
Yeah.
All right, so. Hey, Matt, we need to pick some games now that we're done talking appliances.
All right. Smooth transition there. I like it. All right, so we're all NFL this week. And now Sean did send in his picks, so I'll give them as well before I give my picks since I'm joining in this week. So
awesome.
From week 15 last week, Kevin, you won a perfect 5-0. You are 10-1 in the last 2 weeks. As we talked about before, and Steve went 2-3, Sean went 1-4. So that brings our standings after 15 weeks. Kevin is now first after a surging couple of weeks at 60-36. Steve and Sean are tied at 55-41. So a big week for Steve and Sean coming up here.
Yeah, we're minus -5 here, right? I'm standing here like the soap opera Days of Our Lives, watching the sands of time run out.
You guys go first. I'll pick whoever you pick.
Oh, yeah.
See, I like that strategy. That's why he's 10-1.
That is the Derek Williams strategy. Derek Williams gets a lead on Jack Ham and me in the pick'em deal, and then he starts picking the same teams we do. We're like, hey, wait a minute. Come on here. Cut me a break.
That strategy,
hey,
I'm sure, has been used many times.
We got six pickles on the line here.
I know we do. I mean, we do have six pickles on the line from Brewers Outlet.
That's right.
This is the big stakes pickles here, brother. Big stakes. I like it. All right.
They gave me a great ride home when I was there. I had pickles every 100 miles.
That's
right. They were great.
They're great. I love them. I picked up three last week. Kevin Herr left me three in the studio last week when I came in for the holiday party.
Wow. I am jealous, but I am working hard to win six more.
Here we go. Cool. All right, let it rip, Matt.
All right, here we go. Our first game, one of the marquee matchups of Week 16, NFC South matchup, the Saints hosting the Falcons.
Who's first?
I'll go first.
We'll go Steve first. I'm sorry.
I am really big on the New Orleans Saints. I really like the way they run the ball. I'm big on their defense, and if you need them, you got Drew Brees.
Kevin, what do you think here?
Oh, I'm all over New Orleans. I think Atlanta's way, way too. They have a great game. Matt Ryan's not having a good year. He's very inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And New Orleans is just a steady team. I love New Orleans in this game.
I watched Atlanta and Tampa Bay on Monday night. Freeman played great.
Yeah, Matt Ryan, the running back was tremendous. Matt Ryan was all over the place.
Yeah, even in a game where they won, I mean, Ryan was throwing the ball. I mean, there were people in the stands that were hitting the deck thinking he was coming at them.
Yeah, there were guys wide open. He was missing them. So that's
Sean's got the Saints, and I'm going to take the Saints as well. And the one thing to look at, I believe Alvin Kamara is going to be back this week for the Saints. But either way, I think the Saints will be able to get the run game going. That's been their bread and butter this year. And the defense, surprisingly, has been playing extremely well, kind of back to the 0-9 formula, except I think they're just a better defense in general and forcing turnovers. And you mentioned, guys mentioned Matt Ryan. Shaky game last week for the Falcons. New Orleans always good at home, so I'm taking the Saints as well.
Good pick.
All right, so our next game, the L.A. Rams coming off a stunner against the Seahawks last week, beating them 42-7 in their house. Worst loss for the Seahawks since 1997. Right. And they're going to take on the Tennessee Titans, a team, guys, that's really in a bad spot right now, battling for their playoff lives right now. Two games behind the Jags, who clinched a playoff spot last week. Steve, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts on this one?
Absolutely. I am a guy who last week who said in no uncertain terms that at home the Seahawks would beat the Rams and beat them convincingly. Brilliant pick. First of all, the Rams...
Claire, look at this. Check this out. They both picked Seattle. They're losing by 30.
But you weren't the only one, I'm sure, to think that way, to be absolutely stunned by that.
Well, I'm doing the Penn... I was in Fairfax, Virginia Sunday doing the George Mason basketball game with Penn State. And Dick Girardi shows me his phone, and it was 40-0 Rams. I almost started laughing out loud on the air, but I thought nobody would know what I was laughing about.
Look, nobody expected that.
Hey, let's give credit. Sam Ficken is in the NFL. Sam Ficken, one of my all-time favorite guys here. He's now the kicker for the Rams. He's going to get his chance to kick on Sunday, and the Rams will beat Tennessee.
Right, because Greg Zuerlein is now out for the year, which actually is a big loss for the Rams. He was actually the leading scorer in the NFL this year, believe it or not. 121 points, I believe. So, yeah, definitely a good opportunity for Ficken.
Yeah, that means the Rams scored a lot of touchdowns, which they have. I'm all over the Rams. I think Seattle's quit, you know, as a team. I think we'll get into Seattle later, but the Rams just destroyed them. Tennessee, yeah. Mariota, too many turnovers. I don't see the – even though they have to travel, like you say, you know, cross-country, I got the Rams.
Well, Sean has the Rams as well. I'm going with the Rams, too, outright. I don't think this game is close at all. All right, next game, new game. The Buffalo Bills coming off the win at home to keep pace in the wild card hunt. They currently have the sixth and final playoff spot right now in the AFC after beating the Dolphins at home. Now they got to go on the road to New England, who, of course, has their own destiny. They control their own destiny to get the number one seed in the AFC. They have that little issue with Tom Brady and his trainer. I don't think that's going to be the case at all. I think New England takes care of business and wins, though. I think it'll be a pretty competitive game. So I got New England. Steve, let's go to you now.
You know, there's a big part of you that wants to look at this and say, you know, look what Buffalo's done. And really, everyone thought when the season began they were in the running for the first overall pick in the draft. Right now they're in the number six position for the AFC. Coming off a great win, New England spent a lot of capital emotionally to beat the Steelers. But there's no way you could pick the Patriots over. There's no way you pick the Bills over the Patriots. You can't do it. I'm picking New England.
Yeah. There's another side of this game that's interesting. Is what's Buffalo going to do to Gronkowski? Is there going to be a retaliation?
Right. Exactly.
Are they very interesting point. Yeah. Are they? I don't want to use the word dumb, but gullible enough to put too much time into that to get retaliation as opposed to go out and win the football game. New England had a good win last week. They showed how well coached they are by being ready for that play at the end of the game, which a lot of teams like the Jets would not have been ready for it.
Right, exactly.
Remember, what's his name? The Dolphins.
Marino.
Yeah. He invented that. That was so funny. But yeah, I think New England wins this game. They always have a tussle with Buffalo at the end of the year because it's a rivalry, but I think New England will still walk away.
All right, and Sean's got New England as well. So our next game, and Kevin, you alluded to it earlier, definitely going to be a very interesting game, one of the bigger matchups of the week. Seattle traveling to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Basically, a must-win for both teams. And I actually like Dallas at home, guys. I really do, just because, you know, you mentioned some of the issues that Seattle's having right now. But the one thing that I think is underlying the Cowboys, one, they get Zeke Elliott back this week for the running game. But really, part of their three-game winning streak, and the big reason why, is they actually been able to find ways to run the football with Rod Smith, surprisingly. I still can't get over that fact. And Alfred Morris as well, even though they've had Tyron Smith kind of banged up here and there too on over at right tackle. So the fact that the Cowboys have been able to control the line of scrimmage and still run the football well without Zeke these last 3 weeks to stay in it makes me believe that, especially after seeing Gurley last week, that the Cowboys will be able to run the football, control the clock, and they'll be able to get pressure on Russell Wilson. I think DeMarcus Lawrence having a great year for Dallas. So I like Dallas in this game. Steve?
Zeke this, Zeke that. Zeke's back. Zeke's back. Whoop-de-doo. Is Sean Lee playing?
Sean Lee's playing, and yes, he's a big difference maker, no question.
They are 7-1.
Dallas has changed since Sean Lee came back.
They are 7-1 this season with Sean Lee. They are 1-5 without him. Mm-hmm. He plays, Cowboys win.
Do you agree?
I agree 100%. I watched the games, and Sean Lee changes their defense. His speed, his tenacity. He is arguably the best defensive player in the NFL. That he has that much of an impact on a football game. He makes the offense better. He makes the defense better. And now you bring Elliott back into the mix. The Dallas is going to be a team to be reckoned with if they stay healthy.
He and Luke Kuechly are the only two defensive quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah. It's amazing the impact he has made. And he's still hurt. You know, he's not 100%. I mean, it's a hamstring, so they don't heal that quick. So they don't heal all season.
No question about that, Kevin. And Sean has Dallas as well. And then our final game, Christmas night, the Eagles taking on the Oakland Raiders on Monday night, and I like the Eagles in this one. I was at the game at MetLife last week, guys, and I was very alarmed about the defense. I'm not ready to push the panic button yet, but I'm very, very close to doing so. They need a bounce-back game, and until I see it, I'm not going to be as confident, but I think they will play better than they did last week. Anything can go up from how they played last week. Nick Foles was great. You know, I still want to see that progression and see if the Raiders will bring more pressure on him, see what they try to do there, and how he protects the football and keeps doing that. So I think the Eagles take care of business if they win, or if the Vikings lose, they get the number one seed in the NFC. I think the Eagles will still be able to take care of business at home. Steve?
If I'm a Philadelphia fan, the only thing that concerns me right now, I mean, there's no Carson Wentz. I mean, that's a big concern. But is that in the last 2 weeks, Nick Foles has played very well for them. But oddly enough, they've given up a lot of points.
Right, that's the biggest concern now.
And I'm thinking playoffs now because I'm picking Philadelphia to win. But I'm thinking playoffs now going forward. That's the area if I'm an Eagles fan that would concern me is that, Carson Wentz is out, but, my defense is giving up a lot of points because Nick Foles is a competent, level-headed NFL quarterback. He's not a star, but he's competent and knows how to play the position, and the game is slow enough for him to play well enough. Philadelphia needs to win the game, too. Getting home field is huge because if I'm looking at Minnesota, dome team, Atlanta, dome team, New Orleans, dome team, Rams, Southern California team, and Carolina, Southern team, I want them in Philadelphia in the elements in January.
Good points. Yeah, I like the Eagles in this. I mean, I think it's a long season, and every team has a hiccup. Philadelphia's been complete all year. Now they're having those struggles on defense a little bit, but they'll pick it up. They got a great any team that can run the ball like the Eagles can beat anybody any day. Just control the ball. If your defense is struggling, keep them off the field. I love the Eagles in this, and I love the Eagles to make it at least to the NFC Championship.
Yeah, and I think they can even run the football even more, Kevin, especially with Jay Ajayi. He's slowly been getting the bulk of the carries, and I think he'll eventually get into that role. But I still think Doug Peterson wants to keep that running back by committee. But, yeah, I think the Eagles need to control the clock, and I think they will. But I think the only concern I have with them defensively is the one thing I saw that the Giants did a great job of last week. They got the ball out of Eli Manning's hands quickly, and the Eagles got beat on a lot of those inside slants. That's what happened on the play to Sterling Shepard for 67 yards and the touchdown to make it 20-7. You know, guys bit on some of those stop-and-go routes, the one to King that made it a 13-7 game. So it's just a lot of those disciplined plays, and I think Jim Schwartz needs to come up with better game plans, too. That game plan last week was atrocious.
Well, the other part, too, is that, remember, the Giants don't have Beckham. They don't have – they barely have Sterling Shepard. They don't have Marshall. I think the receivers the Giants used last week are actually the ones that played for Shikellamy in November.
You know what? They very could be at that point. But more reason why to be concerned about the Eagles' defense. But as I mentioned, I think they'll get somewhat of a bounce back, but I want to see a full bounce back. We'll see what happens.
I just love the way they run the ball. And the Patriots did by committee, and they won the Super Bowl, and they had one guy, Blunt. And when that other team's defense was getting tired, and here comes Blunt, and he just starts pounding on them. I love the Eagles scheme. I've loved them all year long. I love teams that run the ball like that. So,
well, I'll say with Carson Wentz, they would have been a lock to get to the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. That's the only reason that you question whether they can make it all the way. But Foles is a good quarterback, you know?
Oh, no. Nick Foles is a very good backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz is a
kind of... They can work their way through. Matt's right. I mean, it's up to their defense now to team because they've got the offense to carry them to the Super Bowl, I think.
Wentz is just a cut above guy. That's what makes you lock as opposed to, I think they can get there.
This is a wonderful week. I got a 5-game lead, and we all took the same teams.
Oh, I know. You are perfectly safe.
Keep it rolling, baby. I'm tasting those pickles out. I don't care who wins or who loses.
I know. There's no separation this week.
We took them as we see them.
But remember, I picked first, so it wasn't, it wasn't one of those where I'm picking the same as you. You weren't picking the same as me. You just picked the ones you thought.
No, I already have my picks done before we start. So,
so did Sean. Matt just makes it up on the fly, and Matt's a shark.
No, obviously last week we didn't pick them all the same. So,
no, that's for sure.
I easily could have gone 1-5 last week and fallen off the edge of the earth.
That's okay. When Dick showed me his phone and it said 40, because we have to do a scoreboard update during the broadcast a couple of times, so we were using his phone to do it. I looked over. I thought, this is a disaster.
I'm screwed.
I all of a sudden I started looking around, thinking, am I at Waterloo? Where's Wellington?
It's fun.
That's why. That's the whole point of this segment is to have fun.
Oh, I know.
Well, that's the whole point of it. I mean, Matt, you had fun. Just nod your head.
I did.
Yes, I did.
Oh, my goodness.
You know your stuff, Matt. You're good.
Oh, thank you.
Matt's good. Matt's really good. He's all over it. He's like leading his league in whatever pick he's doing right now. He's just, I'm telling you right now, he's a ringer.
Awesome. Well, now you join the A-team.
Now you're part of this. Now, you won't believe this, but on the television show, we have to do a pick 'em segment. I actually won that. Now, that either tells you that we picked different games, which we did, or the guys I'm picking against are just not in your class.
It's all luck. Hey, I'm at another thing, and I went 13-2 and lost. One guy pitched the perfect game. It was 14-2. A guy went 16-0 last week. Wow, that's pretty good.
Is there a Thursday night game tonight? No.
No, Thursday night's done for the year. Yeah, just the two Saturday games and then all the Sunday games and then the two games on Monday.
Monday on Christmas. Tonight's a bowl game.
What bowl?
The Gasparilla. It's in St. Petersburg. It's Florida International in Temple. And then Arizona is hosting UConn tonight in men's basketball because we had Dave Pasch on the show in the previous half hour, and he's doing the game tonight.
Great.
Merry Christmas, brother.
Yep. Have a safe holiday, Matt.
Thanks, you too, Kev.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Sam, good luck with the washer. All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Frank Divers, the chairman of the Fiesta Bowl, on our show tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK and at WKOK.com. Your home for the Fiesta Bowl.